Whoop. That was a little awkward, wasn't it? How many of you got uncomfortable thinking, what's going on? Anybody? I was just sitting there waiting. I was like, this is awkward. How long do we let this go? Because there's an awkwardness when the rhythm that we're expecting does not happen. There's an awkwardness when what's supposed to be happening is not happening. And so I wanted us tonight to feel, just for a moment, it was literally only 30 seconds, of what happens in our hearts or our stomachs or our minds when what should be happening, when what is supposed to be happening, is not happening. So here's what this makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if the world that we live in, the chaos, the violence, the confusion of the world that you are growing up in, if this is the awkwardness they're feeling when the hope they are longing for is silent. That there's a recognition deep within us that the world is not as it should be. Why are these things happening so often, over and over? Why is there so much pain, and why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much anger and violence? Why is there so much disunity? And then the church, the Christians, are afraid to offer the hope that the whole world is waiting for. And on the flip side, I wonder if in heaven, in the heavenly realms, if that awkwardness of silence is also felt, that why are the people of God shrinking back? Why are the people of God not speaking and not loving? They may claim Christ, but they have not been formed by Christ. And so we are not formed by Christ, so we are not living out the mission of Christ. I just wonder if the awkwardness that you felt a little bit tonight is the awkwardness that our world is feeling in the face of a world that is chaotic and broken. So what we're going to talk about tonight is engaging the mission of Christ. What we were made and called to do. To bring the hope of Jesus to a hopeless and dark world. And we're going to do that by talking about three things: that Jesus had a mission, that Jesus has given us our mission, and that it is time to engage the mission. That's where we're going to be tonight. Because I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of the awkwardness. I'm tired of the fear. I'm just tired. And so I want to get into this by getting into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's one of many letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. He's writing to a church in Corinth. That is why it's called the Corinthians. They're in Corinth. And just a general sketch of what's happening is there's a church in Corinth. There's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And Paul is probably more blunt and plain spoken in 1 and 2 Corinthians than any other letter, because the church in Corinth is just a mess. They are just a hot mess. They don't know what they're doing. They're not doing it well. They're not doing it in a Christ way, Christ-honoring way. And so he's just writing to give instruction after instruction, rebuke after rebuke. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21, he says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that in Christ, God was reconciling the entire world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Verse 20, therefore, because we have been given this message, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We could literally do an entire series just on that passage. Tonight, I want to challenge you to go back line by line and read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, because here's what Paul is doing here. He is telling them and reminding them of their identity as a Christian, that you are no longer who you were, you are new. And here's the tension here. Why is he writing this? And I just wonder if he's writing this because they knew in their mind who they were and that they were new creations, but they were living in the ways of the old self. There had not been an ownership and a transformation of this new identity as a Christ follower. That although they were reconciled to God, they were still living for the world. And I just wonder tonight how many of us this letter would be written to. You are a new creation in Christ. Live in the new life that God has for you. Let go of the old stuff, the old goals, the old motivations, the old fears. All the old stuff is gone. Jesus has come and given you a new life, and he has reconciled you to God. And so in Christ, you are a new creation with a new mission. The world that we live in has purpose. The world we live in will tell you and try and sell you your mission and your purpose for your life. And it's gonna look a lot like what we would call the American dream. Get more stuff, experience more things, pleasure, comfort, power, love. Experience, experience, experience is the God of this culture. Once you get that, then that hole in your heart will go away. Once you get that job or that paycheck or that power or that influence, whatever you think that is, whatever this world, that is the old way. We serve Jesus Christ, who was not rich. He was not gallivanting around the globe. He was walking from town to town, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the line in my life, and I'll bet we're not too different, somehow my faith in Christ and my mission for Christ really just became about me. And me knowing Christ more, and me feeling God more, and me. So my favorite example of this in pop culture is a Pixar movie. Has anyone ever seen the movie WALL-E? Anybody? Okay. If you have not, go watch it. Because in the movie WALL-E, what happens is technology gets so advanced that humans don't have to do anything anymore. They just ingest food. They just relax. They just seek comfort. And they become so large, like physically large, that when the time comes for AI to take over their universe, they can't do anything. They're like literally rolling out of their chairs across the floor. And I just wonder if we have done church in such a way that we're just making it about us and my experience and what I like and what I don't like, and we've actually missed it. And now we're just about Christian comfort and Christian experience. We still want the comfort. We want the pleasure. We're just going to slap Jesus on it and call it good. But that's not what Paul's saying. So here's my first point tonight. Let's get going. Jesus had a mission. He did not come for vacation. He didn't come because he just could not stand not being in the Middle East. He had a mission. He had a very distinct purpose. And in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, we see that God had a reason for Jesus. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In the Garden of Eden, darkness and the enemy kidnapped humanity. And God said, no, that's not okay with me. I'm going to send my son Jesus to reconcile all things back to myself. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, this is Jesus. He says, for the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, came to seek and to save the lost. He did not say the Son of Man has come to give you a better week and a bigger paycheck and a nicer house and more influence. He said, I have come to seek and I have come to save. That is the mission of Jesus. He says it another way in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. Jesus came in to seek and save the lost because the lost are in the darkness. They can't find their way out. So answer me this question, gathering. If the world is living in darkness and they are lost, who in the world is going to show them the light? Jesus had a mission. The reality of the world that we live in is that we are born into the darkness of humanity. That cosmic kidnapping that happened in the Garden of Eden. That's what the world that we are born into, but Jesus came to transfer us, to transfer you and the people that you know and all of creation from the kingdom and the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his son, Jesus. That is the mission of Jesus, and that is the mission of the church. But Jesus tells us that a part of this mission, it's not going to be up and to the right kind of idea. There is going to be difficulty. There is going to be rejection. There is going to be suffering. Why would we expect anything other than what our Savior himself experienced? He says in John chapter 3, verse 19, the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So we are fighting a spiritual battle here. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But Jesus also said people love the darkness because their deeds are evil and it's easier to do evil in the darkness. And so when Jesus comes and says, hey, I am the light of the world, it's not like, yay, Jesus. He was rejected, he was beaten, he was arrested and crucified for being the light of the world. When I was young, I did not share my faith because I was fearful. I was fearful of losing. I was fearful of not having. I was fearful of all kinds of things. But Jesus said, actually, losing is part of the deal. Rejection is part of the deal. Awkwardness is part of the deal. Jesus came to redeem that which has been lost, to forgive and give new life through life and death and resurrection of himself. John 3, 16 and 17. I spoke on this a couple weeks ago, talking about what is true saving belief. Jesus says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God had a purpose. Jesus has a purpose. They are on a mission to save people, to redeem creation. And then in verse 17, which is often not connected to John 3, 16, 17, Jesus continues, for God did not, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So if we are going to be Christians in a non-Christian and a dark world, the last thing we should lead with is condemnation. because that is not the way Jesus led. He led with love and with sacrifice and giving up of himself to redeem. And so the world, this Christian world of condemnation, of judgment, is not what Jesus did. The gospel is simple, but it is the most profound story of God's activity that you could ever write. Children can understand it, and philosophers are still studying it. Who can do that? That God is good, and he created a good world. And he created a relationship with people, and it was good. And then the enemy enters in, and he ruins everything. And what he ends up doing is convincing humanity that you can decide what is good, and that God is actually not good, and you cannot trust him. So you need to look out for number one. You need to take control. Do not trust God. You trust yourself. And in doing so, we rebel against the love and the care and the kindness of God over and over and over. And God couldn't take it. He said, I'm going to send my one and only son to redeem you. I'm going to show you my goodness. We have a cross right there and we have a cross right there. That is not a symbol of execution. It's the symbol of God's goodness and loving kindness towards us. And not only did he save us and redeem us, when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, when you follow him, he then starts giving you gift after gift after gift. And the greatest gift is his Holy Spirit. That he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will give you a counselor, an advocate. I will give you a comforter. As you go through this life, you will not be alone. Jesus came on a mission. And it was not for a good week or a great experience. It was to seek and to save the lost. And when he seeks them and when he saves them, he makes them new. And then when he makes them new, he doesn't just leave us there. He now sends us on mission. Let's continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul says, therefore. Now, if you remember, when you read the word therefore in scripture, you ask yourself, what is the therefore, therefore? All right? What has he just said? Anyone in Christ is a new creation. And he said, God has reconciled the world through Christ to God. Because you're a new creation and because God is doing something, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So my second point tonight is that Jesus has given us our mission. You know who doesn't give us our mission? Money doesn't give us our mission. Our parents don't give us our mission. Our job doesn't give us our mission. Jesus Christ alone gives us our mission. And it is to be an ambassador. You guys know what an ambassador is? I just don't want to assume. I don't want to ever assume. Like, if you know what an embassy is a building in another country. Like, we're in America, and so if you go to the American embassy in any country where there is an American embassy, when you walk onto the property, you now are on American soil. American laws rule there. It is America in France. It is America in Brazil, wherever. And who lives there is the ambassador to America. And the ambassador to America lives in that country as a representative with the authority and the backing of the American government. So when we see these kind of words, we have to start thinking differently. We're not just ambassadors. We are the representatives with the authority and the backing of God Almighty, saying, I am with you always, wherever you go. Jesus says that very thing in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we call it. He says, then Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth, in the cosmos and right here, has been given to me, says Jesus. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because Jesus has been given all power and all authority over all things. And so therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You're not an ambassador on your own. God is with you. Like when I was a kid, my dad was a pretty big dude. He was like 6'3", like 250, 260 pounds. He was a big dude. And whenever I went somewhere with my dad, adults didn't, but I noticed the kids would go like this. Not to me. They're looking at my dad. And so I could walk around feeling completely safe, secure, because of me? No, I was a scrawny little kid. It was because my dad was with me. Jesus is saying, listen, all authority in heaven, in the cosmos, in the heavenly realms is mine. All authority on this earth is mine. And guess what? I will be with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid. Does that mean every instance, every situation, when we bring our faith into the conversation will go well? No, because God's doing more than you think. We get so outcome focused and we get so me-centric that I have to do it. No. We can go into this world and be vocal and bold and courageous with our faith because all authority has been given to Jesus. And Jesus has given you his Spirit who will be with you always. So as a Christian, you and I, and this is if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you are an ambassador for Christ. We cannot afford to outsource. We cannot afford to outsource this because our tendency is to do two things. It's to give away our mission or get in the way of our mission. Let me explain this. We give away our mission as ambassadors of Christ. You know why? Because other people are better at it than I am. I'll just bring them to church. That's what evangelism has become. I'll bring my friend to church. And if you were here because someone's invited to church, we're so glad you're here. I hope you're hearing the good news of Jesus. But we give it away. I'm busy. I'll let the church deal with it. I'll let the professional Christians do all the work. We can't give away our mission. Guys, you probably have heard the term FOMO, fear of missing out. I am telling you. The greatest joy is being and seeing God use you as an ambassador of Christ to bring someone who is spiritually dead to spiritual life. There is nothing greater than watching God work in the heart and mind of someone because of your relationship with them, and then you get to walk with them and care for them and show them the love of Christ. And that moment where they decide, I'm gonna follow your Jesus, it's the best. Why would we give that away? Why would we give that away? But the other thing we do is we get in the way. We get in the way of being an ambassador. We get in our own way. We start making excuses. Well, I don't know the verses. I don't know what I would say. You know, like, what if I get it wrong? You know, I'm an introvert. I don't really like to talk to people. Or I'm an extrovert. I don't really like to go deep with people, but I like to talk to everybody. You know, like all the stuff. We get in our own way. And when I start thinking about that, what I start thinking about is Moses. Because he had a conversation with the Lord in Exodus, where he told God, you picked the wrong guy. Like, I can't speak. I can't speak well. I'm old. Like I'm the wrong guy. You know what God's response was to Moses? I love it. He goes, Moses, who do you think gave you that mouth? Who do you think gave you your tongue? Who's the authority? Right? Like when we get in our own way, it's because we get in the way. Because we're so self-focused about my time and my abilities and my articulation of the gospel and my, what we're actually doing is we're putting all authority onto ourselves. We are trusting that it's all up to us. I got great news for you. It is not up to you. This is one of the greatest things I've ever read in the Bible. It freed me up to share my faith in a new and fresh way, to share my testimony with all the details of the things that I'm ashamed of and embarrassed of, and it freed me to do it. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. Again, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and they're arguing. They're arguing whether they should follow Paul or they should follow another guy named Apollos. And Paul says these wonderful words. He says, I planted the seed of the gospel. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. Did you catch that? Gathering, did you guys catch that? What Paul, the apostle Paul, is saying is as a Christian, as an ambassador of Christ, you have one of two jobs. Plant the seeds of the gospel and water the seeds of the gospel. That's it. The outcome is God's responsibility. We just need to be made available. Do we have an availability to people? Or have we gotten in our own way or given it away? I don't know about you, but that's just a huge like, oh, it's not up to me to make them love Jesus? It's not up to me if they respond to what I'm saying? It's not up to me? Oh, okay, then I can't fail. You literally cannot fail. Because it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin and bring them to Christ. It's his job, our job, that God in his mercy and sovereignty decided you and I are God's plan A to reach the world for Christ. That we know Jesus, the light of the world, in a world that is covered in darkness, and he chose us and said, it is your mission. It was Jesus's mission, and now he has given it to you. So let's not get in our way. Let's not give it away, our mission. Let's make a way. Let's make a way. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me? Like, this is the greatest call on our life. The greatest call on your life and my life is not money. It is not pleasure. It is not comfort. Guys, it's not easy. Our whole world, all the momentum of our world is moving in that direction. And so we're gonna have to go the other way. That's why what Trayvon said last week is so important, to do it with one another, in community. Because by ourselves, it's really, really, really hard. Jesus had a mission, and he has entrusted that mission to you. He has commissioned you and he has entrusted you. So my question for myself as I prepared this message is, how well are you stewarding what God has entrusted to you? Are we stewarding it at all? Are we even thinking about it? Or are we so like, it's about me, my faith. I want a girl. I want to know. Or are we even aware of a hurting and broken world that is crying out for hope, for a better way? Let's finish this up. I want to finish in Colossians chapter 4. This is the how do we do this? How do we live on mission for Christ? So I want to get really practical here. Colossians chapter 4, Paul's writing another church in Colossae to the Colossians, and he's finishing up his letter. And this is what he says. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders. Make the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. So my third point tonight is, it is time to engage the mission. It is time to engage. Jesus had a mission. He has entrusted and commissioned you to be ambassador of Christ. And it is now time to engage. We live in a world that is dying, literally dying, for a better option. The only response is anger, hopelessness, rage, depression, anxiety. That's the only option in darkness. And we're seeing it play out in your lifetime like never before. And so Paul's words just hit different. So what does he say? We need to engage in three ways from this passage: prayerfully, attentively, and wisely. First, prayerfully. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then in verse 3, he says, at the same time, pray also for us. So individually, pray for yourself, pray for your world, pray for your sphere, and then pray for everybody else. What do we pray? What do you pray? I want to offer four things. I want you to ask God for a name. I want you to pray for a name. Give me a face, give me a name. God, give it to me. Who are you working in my sphere of influence that you are calling me to love? Secondly, ask God to give you eyes to see. Because guys, let's be honest, we don't see very well. Usually what we see is this. Our eyes are right here. Check your screen time. Should we do that? Like, should we open and show your neighbor? No, let's not do that. Too close to home, right? But this is what we see. We need to have eyes to see. That's why he says, be alert. We'll get there in a second. Ask God to open a door. Open a door. That's what Paul says. Pray that God would open a door that I might display the mystery of Christ. God, you do it. You open a door. And then ask God to give you the courage to walk through it. And so when it comes to this idea, we call it evangelism. We call it being an ambassador for Christ, seeking and saving the lost. Have you ever prayed for this? I'll be honest, this is not something I regularly pray for. I just kind of assume it's happening. But Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then secondly, he says, stay alert. This is the attentive part. We need to stay alert and engage. It's hard to see if we are not engaged. What this looks like, in my opinion, is unplugging. Take out the AirPods. Put the phone down. And look around. Look at who God has placed next to you, near you, in your life, next door to your apartment. Who is there? Like, what was really weird to me is, like, my oldest son is starting to look at colleges. And the college campus is such a different experience now than when I was in college. When we go to a college visit, it's really quiet. Because literally everyone has got their earbuds in and on their phone. And we don't even see people, let alone share the gospel with them. We don't even see people. Christians, we cannot afford to outsource and get in the way and be so distracted that we don't even see who God is putting around us that he might actually be sending to you. Let's not see people as obstacles to get around, to get to what I actually want to do. Because that's really it. We need to hold our schedules with an open hand. Like if I get interrupted, good. Good. Let's put down our phone. Let's start watching and listening and praying. Remember the awkwardness you felt at the beginning of this service. I just can't get over the idea that the world feels the awkwardness of the silence of Christians. It'd be like if your house was on fire and you're freaking out and you're sitting there like, isn't someone supposed to come help? And they never show up. Guys, our world is burning. And we've got the water, the living water of Jesus Christ. So let's engage, and we do it together. We don't do this alone. One of my favorite things that I've learned over the last couple of years is watching my kids run cross country. I know you're surprised, but I was not a cross country runner. But I'm sitting there at this meet. It's the most encouraging sport you could possibly imagine. It's genuinely awesome. I love it. But I heard a coach yell to their runner, "Stick with that group, they'll pull you faster." And what he was saying is, if you go by yourself, if you shrink back, you will slow down and you won't even know it. But if your target is to stick with that group that's ahead of you, they will pull you. That's what we do as Christians. We pull one another towards Christ, and we pull people towards Christ together. And if we're doing it with our friends, if we're praying together with our friends, if our small groups and our friend groups are, this is a regular topic of conversation, like, hey, where did you talk about Christ this week? How did you love people the way Jesus loved them this week? Like, then all of a sudden, the momentum shifts from what I want to do to what Jesus wants us to do. And so then we do this with wisdom, wisely. First, we do it prayerfully. Second, we do it attentively. And then we do it wisely, making the most of the time God has given you. I mentioned screen time earlier. It's one of the most depressing things I get every week, is the notification of how I'm using my time. And what Paul says right here, let your speech always be gracious. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. This is the one thing you cannot get more of. Everyone in the world has 24 hours a day. Everyone in the world has 60 minutes every hour. How are you using your time? Is it prayerfully? Is it attentively? Are we actually engaging the darkness so that we might welcome in the light of Christ? Or are we just whittling our way, time away, with meaningless things? I'll finish with this passage in Romans 10:14. Paul writes, "But how can they call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" Paul's like, listen, guys. How can they know Christ if no one tells them about Christ? And so as Christians, as ambassadors of Christ, if you are a Christian, you have been knighted to go be an ambassador of Jesus. So here's the thing. What Paul is saying is this is our responsibility to be on mission for Jesus. It is not optional to our faith. It is on brand to be speaking the name, to love people the way Christ loved them. It is off brand to be silent and fearful and so self-involved that we never see anything or anyone. Let me give you this last encouragement. One of the greatest things, reasons we don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, the hope of the world, is because we're so outcome focused. We're so success focused. Let me change that mindset for you. Instead of being success focused, of like, they need to come to Jesus, they need to give their lives to Christ, let the outcome, let the Holy Spirit worry about the outcome. This is not an outcome issue, this is an obedience issue. That's what this is. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and you make disciples. Make is not a passive word. It is an engaged word. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you all of the days of your life. So what do we do with this? I'm gonna give you three things really quickly. Pray to see and love people like Christ. Don't love evangelism, love people. Care for people. Here's the trick. People do not care what you know until they know that you care. So start praying. God, give me a heart and a love for people that I do not currently have. Help me to see and love people like you, and then write down the name. Secondly, pray for open doors. Unplug, put the phone down, and engage. Just see who's around you. And then three, step through that door, because that door is an answer to your prayer. Let's go, people. Let's go. This is what the church was made for. This is the mission of Christians. Let's go. Let's stop being passive and fearful and say the God of the universe has all authority and it is his job to change your heart. My job is to be obedient and share with you the joy of my life. The God who has transformed me and changed me and given me hope and a future. So as we go into 120 seconds, we're gonna do something different tonight. We're going to leave these up here. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray. Just number one, I want you to pray that God would give you a name and a face. Someone in your sphere of influence that God has specifically equipped you, wired you, and placed you to be around them. All right, so I want you to pray for a name and that God would help you love them and see them the way God sees them. And then I'm gonna ask you to move. Over here on the side, in that table right there, table over here, we've got sticky notes. I want you to write your name on a sticky note and then an arrow down to the name that God gave you. And I want you to put it on the wall. Because here's the thing. When we do our worship nights and we ask, hey, do you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? 90% of you have stood up. And my fear is that we're just gonna forget them. We'll come back to them at our next worship night. Let's not do that. Let's collectively write down the names that God has given to us. Put them on the wall, and then you get up out of your seat, put it on the wall, and then pray for those names. Pray for those people. We're gonna devote ourselves to praying for the lost. This is what we do. And so we're gonna pray. Last thing. When you go back to your seat, maybe grab one of these. They're on the front of the stage here. There's a little card that says The Gathering. On the back, it says, sit with me. I want to encourage you to grab one or 10 of these. Write your name and your number on it and say, hey, I wanna love you and care for you. Maybe I've found a place that I would love to bring you to, because we will share the gospel with them. We will share them with them Christian community. Take these, drop them somewhere, give them to somebody. You let these be a little catalyst to help you. So let me pray for us, pray for a name, and then when God gives you that name, and I believe he will, because he loves that person, I want you to get up, I want you to go write your name, an arrow, and then the name of the person we're praying for, okay? And then if you want to linger while we sing the last song and just pray for names, or if you want to come back to your seat and worship, it is up to you. You are free to move about the room however you want. So let me pray. God, we thank you, Lord, that you did not save us to be passive. You saved us to be on mission for the lost, to bring the light of Christ into the darkness of this world. Holy Spirit, would you please, Holy Spirit, light a fire in our souls for the literal souls around us who are walking and living in darkness. Not to condemn them, but to love them. God, would you give us a boldness that we do not have on our own? Would you open doors that we might have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus? Would you give us courage, Holy Spirit, that we do not have on our own? We are fearful people. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to be witnesses for you? We pray these things in your name. Amen.